We are broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Download the MyMTE app in Google Play or in the iTunes Store and keep up with your electric usage.
The free app gives you better control of your power consumption and provides the ability to see exactly how much electricity you use.
Simply search for MyMTE today.
This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Joining us in studio this morning from the Murfreesboro Parks and Rec Department, we have Assistant Director Thomas Laird and also Marketing Coordinator Lynn Caldwell. How are y'all both doing today?
Good.
Doing well. We missed our music there, Scott.
You know, Brian is the expert at always playing that.
Teeing it up.
I think he listens to that on his off time, too, just on repeat over and over again, the Parks and Rec theme. As well as watches it over and over again. Is that off the air, or is that still on the air? I don't even know if Parks and Rec...
I think it's off the air, but you can watch it, you know, streaming services, right. But...
We need to keep it alive, don't we?
It's a great show.
We love it.
So what all is happening within the Parks and Rec Department this morning on this kind of cloudy, rainy day?
Doesn't look like it today, but spring is here. Things are starting to green up, and flowers are in bloom. The walk on the greenway definitely gives you a beautiful picture wherever you're at.
That's right. And even though it's raining outside, the parks are still open.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Rain, sleet, or snow, we open the parks.
That's right. 24, well, not 24-7, but
right.
just about, right?
Yeah. We try to keep them open as much as possible.
Starting off the day this morning, are you guys in the brand new building yet on Thompson Lane?
We are.
We are, and we're loving it. It's different and having everybody under one roof and together, but that's been really nice, so we're really liking it.
Yeah, it kind of gives us a hub. You know, as you know, our main office has been out the little house out at Barfield for 20 years, since 2001, I think. Being in a space where it's big enough for everybody that, you know, on the admin side and our leadership team to be able to come together. And it gives us some meeting space and some workspace that we haven't had in the past.
So prior to this move, were you guys spread out all over the city?
Absolutely. Our leadership team really was. Myself, I was at McFadden Community Center, and then Rachel, who is our other assistant director, she was over at the maintenance shop, and then, of course, Nate was at the house at Barfield, and then we have an admin team there that helps out. But Lynn and her staff were at different locations, so coming together and being able to collaborate instead of having to make a note and meet about it, we're able to just kind of talk things out.
Walk down the hall.
Right.
Really, this is an issue that I would guess a lot of growing cities face, and that's not having enough office space.
I think so. I think most cities that are growing, especially at the capacity that we're growing, I mean, City Hall in general is overflowing. We've got community development, for example, is over at the McFadden Community Center, so we're in desperate need of office space. So it was a welcome addition. We want to welcome anybody to come by and visit. You know, if you just want to come by and see the office, I'm sure Jamie would be glad to give you a tour.
2140 North Thompson Lane.
No playgrounds in that building, though. Nothing like that.
No.
No, but we are close to the Greenway, so we can, when we have a quick break or at lunch, we have a walk right down to the Greenway, and I've done that a couple times, and that's been nice, so that's fun.
And that building, you guys share it with the Murfreesboro Fire Administration.
We do. And the fire department, their administration's on the other side of the building. So we've always had a real good working relationship with the fire department anyway. So it seems like a nice fit.
Now, is there room for additional city offices in that building?
I don't think so. I think once fire gets all of their admin and everybody in, I think that'll pretty much take up most of the space.
Yeah.
Hey, and of course, some of the things going on within the Parks and Rec Department, as we know from past city council meetings, there's a potential new park that's going to be coming to Veterans Parkway, and I guess Blackman area may have something new out that direction, further out that direction as well at some point.
Right. Just north of the Kroger there on Veterans Parkway is a nice farmland there that the city traded with Middle Tennessee Electric. And that's where we're planning a new park. A lot of the features of the new park are primarily walking trails, pavilions, things that we get the most requests for. And then we hope to add some other amenities, like a bandstand or a event space. And lots of just nice green space.
Yeah, and we're excited about that event space because that is something we get a lot of requests for. So we're obviously still in the planning stages for that, but it would be a big open green space where we could host different city events.
Even concerts, I guess, that could happen there.
Absolutely.
And it's been a long time. I guess really the only park out that direction would be Old Fort Park that's a city park, right?
Right. Going out that way, Old Fort, I guess, would be the last park before you get there. So we are definitely in need of a park on the west portion of town. Of course, we have Barfield Crescent on the southern portion and Siegel Park on the north end with McKnight Park. But definitely the west has been in need of some park features for a while.
Do you ever foresee something like a permanent stage in one of the parks? Kind of like, I guess, what Centennial Park has. They've got a stage fairly close to where the Parthenon is, and it's been there for years. Do you think something like that could happen here?
You know what? Everything's possible, Scott.
Anything and everything could happen.
You know, we take our direction from the council and their constituents kind of direct the way things will go. Of course, we've had a master plan done in 2019. We try to closely follow that, and that takes a lot of the community input about what those needs are and what is, you know, what is the greatest need. I get a lot of requests that says, well, aren't we putting a new disc golf course in the new park? But if you look at the number of people playing disc golf versus the number of people that walk our trails and utilize our pavilions, it certainly couldn't be considered a priority over trails and pavilions. So we're going to, you know, try to meet the greatest need first, and then those other needs will definitely.
And we have a lot of walking trails here. I mean, we do. I don't know. Do you know how many miles
over
worth of trails?
17 miles. I think it's close to 19 now, but for sure over 17 miles and 16 different trailheads.
So
really anywhere you want to go.
Now, the greenway itself, all of that is paved, right?
The greenway itself is paved. There's about 3 to 5 miles of unpaved walking trails out at Barfield Crescent Park. And then when you get on the north end of the greenway now, they're horse trails, but there are several miles of horse trails out on the north end where we have the North Greenway.
You know, years ago, did you ever foresee that the city of Murfreesboro and the Parks and Rec Department would one day oversee the Walter Hill area and the park out there?
No, it seems so far away back.
Even still does to some extent.
Well, even when we built Siegel, we thought no one's going to come this far out to a park. But I guess that was the same consensus when we built Barfield Crescent Park.
Yeah.
There was literally nothing out there, and I remember rumblings of, well, nobody's going to want to go. Matter of fact, Little League decided to stay at McKnight because they were afraid nobody would be willing to drive that far out to go to the ball games.
Now, is Little League still based at the sports com?
At Starplex, yes.
Okay.
Little League is still there. I think, and this was a conversation back in 2000, when they built Barfield Crescent Park, our former director, Dennis Rainier, he really wanted Little League to go to the new park and be at that eight-field complex. But I guess Little League leadership, of course, they've always been right there in the sports com and that area. But they decided they would stay at McKnight Park and the Murfreesboro Baseball Association would go to the new park. So
it's amazing how many different teams of all ages really use the different baseball and softball fields we have throughout Murfreesboro.
It is. It's phenomenal. You know, every field is scheduled out and utilized to its max. And, you know, that may be one of the things in our master plan that we really need to put some more focus on is the baseball and softball fields. We've got soccer where it needs to be at this point, and while it continues to grow, and if you talk to soccer people, they need more soccer fields. But I think baseball and softball is one of those areas that we'll see our focus trending in the future.
And you have a lot of church leagues, a lot of different companies, and factories have baseball or rather softball.
Absolutely.
Teams.
And, you know, adult softball is kind of at a minimum here. We're kind of maxed out on the teams that we can take. And, you know, we're using as few of fields as possible because we have so many youth that are playing as well. So it's a tough balance. We've got a good athletic staff that balances those schedules and those leagues, so we are able to have adult and church softball, but all the kids get to play as well.
How do you find enough refs or umpires for those games?
It's definitely a challenge. But you know, our basketball season, we were operating 10 locations on a Saturday, so that was a pool of 20 referees just for the minimum number of games. So it was definitely a challenge. All of the park staff, most all the athletic staff, strapped on whistles and were out on the court most of the weekends. It definitely is a challenge, and it's you know, the culture is trending to where it's not going to improve until our fan base, or you know, the fan culture improves.
And then you also have certain times of the year where you have to really ramp up on hiring new staff, be it part-time or full-time even in some cases. But there are certain times of the year where it's got to be more difficult than others for you.
Definitely. We're moving into summertime. So right now we're hiring our camp staff and getting them in place. So when you hit middle of summer, that's probably the most difficult time. When those staff members leaves or we have a vacancy, most of the kids or the young people that are willing and eager to work are already have jobs. And so that can be one of our really challenging times.
Lifeguards, is that something you're hiring for now, or do you already have that ironed out?
We're always
hiring for that. We do have everything on the website with all the jobs. It is a great way to start if this is something that you think you're interested in. With Parks and Rec, we have a lot of people. I know Nate, we did a story on him recently. I mean, he started as a lifeguard with Parks and Rec. But so, you know, coming out and working part-time and helping to ref some games and so forth, and just kind of getting in with our culture, meeting the people and seeing if that's something you like. But we have a lot of those opportunities open right now.
And then what kind of hourly pay are you looking at if you are part-time throughout the summer?
It can range anywhere from $12.50 to $14-$15 an hour. It's market value for our area. The one thing that working with us versus working on a mowing crew or a fast food restaurant and stuff is you are getting that practical experience. You're getting experience not just with working with a team, but also working with the general public. And that's, you know, a valuable experience that these young people can take on, help them later in life.
Yeah, and if mowing's your thing, you can do that with Parks and Rec.
Absolutely.
As well.
We've got mowing crews as well.
Acre after acre.
Right.
How long does it take you guys to mow, like, for example, Old Fort Park or Barfield Park?
You know, personally, I've not been the one mowing the grass, so it's hard to speak particularly, but I believe the crew that does Old Fort Park, I think that takes them about 2 days on the mowing side of things, and then you've got the trimming and mulching, a lot of the other stuff. But I think in terms of going in and just mowing, it's about a two-day mow. Barfield Park, they mow it every week, so by the time they get through the park, they're ready to start over again on Monday.
I think it's impressive how you guys use push mowers.
But we do have teams. They're in teams, and like where that is, they take such pride in that. Like the Barfield crew, we have you know, a whole crew just for the Greenway, where that's what they do. Is every day they just go out there and make sure that stays clean, and they mow it and take care of all that. So they take a lot of pride in that.
And so mowing the Greenway, do they literally start on one end, say the Thompson Lane trailhead, and then go all the way down wherever it needs mowing on each
side?
They
have a plan. They work it out with their plan and the rest of their team, and just kind of keep up with it that way. So it's a lot, yes.
It'd be like riding a lawnmower for 15 miles.
15 miles, right. 17
We've got
miles.
A crew in the north portion of town that operate out of Siegel Park, so they kind of take care of the North Greenway, and then the Barfield crew, they take care of a lot of the southern portion of the Greenway near Barfield Park, and then, of course, our normal Greenway staff handles the other portion.
So do they keep mowers like at Barfield Park or at Old Fort Park?
We do. We have maintenance shops throughout the city. Siegel Park has a really big maintenance shop. McKnight Park, of course, with all the ball fields and stuff, has a pretty good size maintenance shop. And then down
Central
has that at Old Fort Park. And then Barfield, of course, has a maintenance shop. So
And you're about to have more to mow in downtown Murfreesboro, it looks like, with the opening or daylighting of Town Creek, which is going to happen any day now.
Very exciting, right? I saw there was some caution tape out here. So
yeah, I don't know what that means.
I thought you were going to give us a little more information on where that is starting to move.
No telling.
You know, that will be a great addition, though, to the park system, but to our community. The connection of downtown and Canonsburg and that area and being able to enjoy some linear green space would be great.
And Canonsburg itself, that is supposed to mimic, I guess, what, old Murfreesboro, what it used to be like, what, 200 years ago?
Right. That was a, I think, 1976 bicentennial project that the city took on, and they moved buildings from all over the county to here at Canonsburg, create Canonsburg Village. Murfreesboro was originally called Canonsburg, and if I have my history right, I believe we were the state capital for a little while.
That's right, for like 2 years,
right,
I think.
Right, and so they've recaptured that just in a pioneer village at Canonsburg. If you've never been, it's really an asset to our community. And
there's a lot that happens there each and every year. And, of course, you also have the old tractors on display year-round. And that tractor collection, what do you have, 20-something tractors there?
I think there's about 20, yes.
And some very unique tractors. I know we've mentioned this before. Even Porsche made a tractor,
right,
which is out there.
And it's there. There's, if you've never been to Canonsburg Village, it's really interesting to go and see the history. They've got several cabins and old general store and a doctor's office set up. So you can really see the Blacksmith Association operates out there. So blacksmiths are usually working.
They really make stuff in there too.
They do.
Right?
And
absolutely.
It's self-guided, so you can kind of just take your time and walk through that. If you have children, especially this week during spring break, they have Canonsburg staff has created like these little backpacks that you can just check out for free, and it's kind of got that educational flair to it as you walk through, and different activities for your kids to do. They've got a little gift shop there where you can stop in and buy some different things, and then everybody there on staff is obviously super knowledgeable about the history of Canonsburg, and it's always great to stop and talk with them as well.
And the cedar bucket is there, Scott.
Now, is it the original? Because I know the original
burned. The original was burned. But the Blacksmith Association came together. They used all the original iron, and they've rebuilt the bucket, and it's got a nice display there. So it was in one of the World's Fairs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I wonder what year that was. I guess that would have been back when the Cedar Bucket Factory was around?
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah, the Cedar Bucket Factory, they built it to be a display at the World's Fair, and then evidently it traveled all over the United States.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Display.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And then we do have, you know, Pioneer Days. You mentioned that they have different events held at Canonsburg, and we have our big Pioneer Days, and that's April 27th. Mm-hmm. We'll have hundreds of people come out. I mean, they have lots of craft demonstrations and food trucks, and the blacksmiths are there. They're doing their thing. There's basket weaving. You just kind of take a step back in time and see how all of that happened, and it's really fun.
And then the chapel within Canonsburg, that's still used, and I guess people can rent that out for weddings.
Lots of weddings.
Lots of weddings, yes.
So are there weddings, you know, almost, what, every month out there?
It is really, it's booked most of the time, so if you are interested,
every week.
Do need to call, but there's a lot of weddings and receptions and maybe, you know, renewing vows and things like that, but it's used a lot.
Some folks
it's gorgeous.
May have two or three weddings there, the same person.
We may have had a few like that.
Again, talking about Murfreesboro Parks and Rec this morning, Thomas Laird is with us, as well as Lynn Caldwell this morning in studio. Now, some of the things that are coming up, for example, Barfield Beach Days. What is the beach party at Barfield Park?
The Barfield Beach Party is where we dump, I think it's 88 tons of sand into the parking lot, and then allow the kids to come out and play in it. We have a DJ, and it's a regular beach party with a hula hoop contest and limbo competitions and stuff. But we use that sand throughout the year to put on our athletic fields, and so we figured we'd get dual uses out of it. And, you know, this event's been going on for close to 20 years.
I don't know who started it, but it's super popular, bringing a beach to Murfreesboro.
I'm trying to envision 88, 90 tons of sand.
Four truckloads.
Like dump truck?
Big dump truck loads.
That is a lot of sand.
That is a lot of sand.
So what, the idea of doing this, kids, what, can come out there and build
sandcastles? We have beach toys for them. Like I said, we have several contests, hula hoop contest competition, the limbo. Especially the little bitty kids who have never really been to the beach or anywhere where it's just seeing that much sand. Usually it's 10 to 12 inches deep, so they're able to dig and play.
They're like, what is this weird stuff I'm walking in?
Right.
But it is interesting. You know, some, like you said, have never, ever been to the beach before, and this may be the closest they get at their age.
Right. Especially if you're planning on a staycation, this is a time to slip in that beach trip.
That's right. We're going to the beach at Parfield Park.
That works when they're really young.
Yeah. That's right. You can pull that off fairly easily. Now, again, there's a lot happening within the parks, and one thing that we do hear a lot about each year, the TSSAA Spring Fling, that is something that has long been held in Murfreesboro.
It has. I want to say it goes back to 2006 is our first year to host that. So Murfreesboro's fortunate to have a sports-minded community, and I think that's what brings that event back every year. Is during the week of Spring Fling, you can see the marquees on a lot of the restaurants welcoming the players and families into town. For those that don't know, Spring Fling is an Olympic-style event for all spring high school sports. So we have tennis, soccer, girls softball, men's soccer, track and field, and baseball.
And it brings in a lot of tourist dollars into our community. I don't know how many millions each year, but to restaurants, to hotels, it brings in and helps out a lot.
Right. It's $3 to $5 million of economic impact that comes into our community. And for that week, it'll be close to 5,000 athletes and 10,000 fans that are coming in, eating in our restaurants, staying in our hotels. The best part about that is at the end of the week, those folks go home, and we're not responsible for providing services and things. So,
and this is not just given to Murfreesboro. I know Rutherford County has to bid on this, or I guess put in offers each year to TSSAA, and they could choose anywhere in the state, but they choose here.
Right. I believe the way the contract has worked is that we've had to bid for it on numerous occasions, and then TSSAA has an option to renew that contract. So typically once we get it, we'll have it for 2 to 3 years, and then it goes back up for bid. I think here lately the TSSAA has really been happy with the arrangements with the chamber and the CVB. And
have there been any studies on, you know, how many people who come here for these Spring Fling events end up moving here later?
I've not seen any studies, but I do know a lot of people that say they used to come for the state tournament.
And we hear a lot of great things, which that's really neat, just to hear people talking about the city and how everybody works so well together and all of that.
And it's been held before, I believe, in places like Chattanooga, Memphis, and I'm not sure if Clarksville, I believe they had it 1 year.
Well, they tried to, they bid on it. Right, they did bid on it. It started in Chattanooga. Ronnie Carter started it, and then they put it out for bid after the first year, and it went to Memphis for 3 years. And then we bid on it, I think, along with Clarksville. But when Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, when we bid on it, we took a busload of enthusiasts, people that wanted to support it, to the unveiling of the bids at the TSSAA office. So Rutherford County had a big presence there.
We were the only ones with activists there.
we had a big crew. So
again, this morning, talking about Murfreesboro Parks and Rec, we're going to take a short break, and we will come back in just a second, and we have more items to cover this morning on the Action Line, so we'll get that underway in just a second. Again, taking a short break. Time right now, 8:42. Stay with us.
When the unexpected happens,
fire, water, or storm damage, Farrah Construction can help. Farrah Construction is also there to help when a car slams through the wall, and that seems to happen more often these days. I'm Ron Hall. Let our family at Farrah Construction help you. Call Farrah Construction and we'll board up, put down tarps, secure your home or business until the insurance coverage is approved. I'm Ron Hall. Shop local. Let our family business help you. Farrah Construction Company.
Life is best when lived in motion, and Bud's Tire Pros will help keep you and your ride in motion and on the road while ensuring you're ready for any adventure that life throws your way. March 14th through April 2nd, get up to $80 via a Visa reward card, or you can get a Visa virtual prepaid card with the purchase of 4 new Michelin passenger or light truck tires. With Bud's Tire Pros by your side, you can continue to explore the unfamiliar.
Stop by and see us at Bud's Tire Pros today. See store for details. Offer ends April 2nd, 2024. Void where prohibited.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for, you know, guitars, keyboards, drums. We have lessons for anything with strings, mandolin, guitar, bass, you name it. We have lessons for anything with keys at Music World and Drummer's Den, and a professional drum teacher as well. So if you need to learn to play something, we have you covered. Come on in, buy you an instrument, start learning today at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the places I love to eat out the most and still be able to do so and maintain a healthy weight is at Demas's. You can get those options on the menu online at www.demasrestaurants.com. You can make the decisions that you want to make before you come in. We have options ranging from grilled chicken to fish. You can get it with a side of green beans or spinach or even zucchini. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner at Demas's.
CBS News Special Report. We're learning more about this morning's bridge collapse in Baltimore that plunged cars, at least one truck, and bridge workers into the Patapsco River. The Francis Scott Key Bridge gave way after a Singapore-flagged container ship hit a base support. CBS's Nicole Skanga from Dundalk, Maryland.
The U.S. Coast Guard had reported that the Dolly, the cargo ship, lost propulsion as it was leaving Baltimore Harbor, and that vessel notified the Maryland Department of Transportation that they had lost control of the vessel and an elision or a collision with the bridge was possible.
At least two people were rescued from the river. One is in very serious condition. Divers are searching for others. Fire Chief James Wallace.
We are still very much in an active search and rescue posture at this point, and we will continue to be for some time.
At last inspection, the bridge was rated in fair condition. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
If you're looking for an authentic relationship with financial experts who genuinely care about your unique needs, Capstar Bank is for you. Capstar Bank is dedicated to the people of this community. Capstar Bank wants to help you reach your financial goals. Because at Capstar Bank, you matter to us. Capstar Bank, 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, capstarbank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Download the MyMTE app in Google Play or in the iTunes Store and keep up with your electric usage.
The free app gives you better control of your power consumption and provides the ability to see exactly how much electricity you use.
Simply search for MyMTE today.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Right now that time, 8:46 this morning, we're talking about Murfreesboro Parks and Rec. Thomas Laird in studio with us this morning, along with Lynn Caldwell from the Parks and Rec Department. So moving on, what else have we not talked about? I guess one thing would be the food trucks coming to our area in downtown Murfreesboro.
Yes, we are really excited about this. It's called Lunch on the Plaza. It's a new event that we're starting for this kind of spring headed into summer. It'll be every Friday in April and May. And what our plan is to have 4 to 5 food trucks that are actually going to be up on Civic Plaza. We've tried to arrange for a great variety. There'll be all kinds of different options. It's going to be from 11 to 1. And it's just really to kind of encourage people to come down to that area, enjoy lunch, sit outside. We will have some tables and chairs set up, possibly at times some music, different things going on. But just get people out and about in that area and just enjoying their lunchtime.
So this will be popular. It'll be downtown Murray. Murfreesboro, right next door to the radio station on the Civic Plaza. And again, it's going to be in both April and May.
April and May. And we will list on both the city website and the Parks and Rec website. We'll have, I'm going to probably release every Wednesday what the upcoming food trucks are. But right now you can go there. We've got spotlights on there just letting you know who's going to be there for that first time on April, I believe it's April 5th. Our first Friday.
Okay, that'll be cool. And then, you know, I mentioned before the break there about the daylighting of Town Creek, and there's also going to be a walkway which really connects the downtown square area to the Cannonsburg direction, I guess I should say, going towards Town Creek.
Right, and I believe it's going to start around the Murphy Springs area, correct? And that's another place that people just love, the boardwalk. I think it was about 2 weeks ago that we opened it up completely, so the entire boardwalk is open. We had a lot of people really, really excited about that, and I believe that's where that's going to kind of start, so you can walk from there, and then you'll be able to walk through there all the way over to Cannonsburg.
And you can see a lot of wildlife at the Murphy Spring wetland. I mean, it's pretty wild to see some of the different, I guess, everything from ducks to blue heron to lots of fish.
It is. You know, it's amazing the different and the variety of species of animals we have here in Rutherford County or right here in town in Murfreesboro. We were at our last commission meeting. Our outdoor enthusiasts gave a recap of the bird survey that they've done, and some of our parks have over 300 species of birds.
Wow.
Right here in town.
I had no idea that many different species.
Yeah. And lots of rare ones. I was there the other day taking some photos, and there was a lady out there that was taking, there was some very rare bird. So I took a photo of it. I don't really know what it was. But anyway, she said they're only spotted every once in a while. And but, you know, we have otters there. There's beavers. A lot of people come out there to see, like, how they change their dams and where they build those. Just lots of neat stuff. So people are really excited about that.
Snapping turtles, you name it.
Yes. Right. Wildlife viewing is a big hobby.
Yeah, it definitely is, and there are surprisingly lots of different critters you'll find here.
Right.
And you can find them as you walk the Greenway. Okay. That's, you know, one of the many areas that you can see the wildlife. And Barfield Park, they have the Wilderness Station, and they give different talks on different animals throughout the year.
They have comprehensive programs throughout the year for all ages, so definitely if you're interested in the plants around our area or the vegetation, all the animals, of course. They have several education animals there at the Wilderness Station. So,
owls,
our
snakes.
Animal ambassadors. Yeah. Yes, we have snake. All of that. All of those are on site in the Wilderness Station, so you can go there anytime and check those out and visit. And then also there's just, they always have a class. There's always something happening there. One of the things we have happening this Saturday that I think I just posted about today was just like getting your garden ready. So they're actually hosting a class there. You do have to register online. It's free, but they're going to give out some zucchini seeds and just kind of talk to you about like what kind of vegetables and things like that do the best in our area. So if that's something you're interested in, go online and check that out. But they always have something going on.
World Turtle Day. What is that?
That's a national day, and that is May 23rd, and we'll have a lot of different events happening out there at the Wilderness Station. That's just another big event that they love to kind of just celebrate and talk about the different species of turtles and what we have around in our area and just kind of celebrating it.
And lots of turtles going through Barfield Park, I guess, with the river going through there.
There are Absolutely. Quite a few, and a few of our education animals are turtles.
Oh, okay. Yes. Educational turtles.
Right. Educational
turtles.
Smart turtles.
And another event that is coming up, Special Olympics, and at one point you were asking for, I guess, some volunteers or at least folks to come out and support.
Fans is what we really need. Fans in the stands. Of course, working directly with our athletes, we use MTSU and a lot of high school athletes to work directly with our athletes. And then we partner with the Murfreesboro Police Department and Fire Department to kind of help cover the scoring and those types of things in running the event. So our biggest and greatest need is just people in the stands cheering. We have the youth on May 6th, so it'll be the elementary and middle schools. It starts at 10 o'clock each day at the Dean Hayes Track Facility there at MTSU. And so at 10 a.m. we'll do the parade of athletes, and then we just really want a lot of people filling the stands to cheer on these athletes as they compete in running and field events.
How big have the Special Olympics gotten here in Murfreesboro?
You know, it's I think last year we had a little over 600 athletes in the two-day event. So I know that's grown exponentially. But what we're seeing is we're getting a much bigger adult community and much more participation from those adults, which is a good thing as we develop more programs here within the county that gives those, it helps grow that community. So all the kids grow up, and then they need something to do as well.
And what is the age range of those who actually compete?
For Special Olympics, we start at 8 years old, and that goes on to 99. We don't have a cap on the for adults, but they have to be 8 years old to be able to compete. And most of our younger athletes come through the schools, they'll get with their teachers and be entered through that. If you have a homeschool child or you do have an adult or know of an adult that would like to compete, they can reach out to us at the athletic division or recreation department. athletics@murfreesborotn.gov is a good way to do that, or Facebook or through the website. But we can get those individuals registered for the track and field event, which is May 6th for elementary and middle school, and then May 7th for the adults and high school.
And if you've never experienced this, it's something I really would encourage you to come out. We've had a lot of people that reach out to us and say, what can we do? And again, we just want fans in the stands for all of those special athletes, like, to look up and see it filled with people. I mean, you can make signs and just cheering, and it means the world to them. And it's an experience. It's really something you should check out.
And then again, where are the different events held for the Special Olympics?
Well, they'll be at, for this particular spring games will be at the Dean Hayes Track and Field Facility. So they'll have them all either on the track itself, or they use the long jump pits for the long jump, and then we use the infield area for the softball throw. But we try to make it where every event is easily viewable from the stands.
So everything there on
everything
the MTSU
right
campus. Okay.
Right.
And again, that is coming up starting May the 6th. And it's always interesting to see local high school athletes who are out there volunteering and helping
and the
out.
And MTSU athletes, we get a huge support of MTSU football players, baseball players, volleyball. Basically, all of their athletes, the ones that are still on campus, come out. And then Central Magnet's basketball team, girls basketball team, has helped for numerous years.
So all of that coming up. And also right around the corner, the Conservation Days, that is May 11th, the whole week of May 11th. Tell us more about that one.
Yes, that starts off on May 6th, and it's basically just a whole week of just different activities and things that you can come out to. Again, that's pretty much held around the Wilderness Station. There may be some different places that we take people. We'll have all that laid out for you. But just a week-long naturalist-led outings, different activities for you to do, guided nature therapy, different walks and things that they're going to go on. And then it kind of all culminates on the 11th, which is the big kind of expo where you can go and get lots of information. We'll have guest speakers and people talking about it. And then the kind of infamous plant sale that takes part. And I got to do that in the fall, and I was amazed at how many people just love that. But we have all of our staff on hand for that with all the indigenous plants that are just really good for our environment. And you can buy those, and they're all things that they've been growing here within the Parks and Rec system.
Native
and then you take
plant.
It back. Yeah, native plants. You take it back and plant those in your yard and so forth.
So there will be a plant sale, and that's going to be on the 11th?
That's on the 11th at 9 a.m.
Okay, and that's all at Barfield Park?
Yes.
And that, again, coming up, so May 6th through May 11th.
Yes.
And all the information that we talked about this morning, you can find details about it on the Murfreesboro Parks and Rec website.
Yeah, murfreesboroparks.com. We have a Things to Do calendar that lists out just all the daily activities and so forth. And then we also have our Murfreesboro Parks and Rec event guide, which we're about to release our April, May, and June, but that's always online. We have them in all of our facilities that you can pick up, or you can just go online and click on it, and it kind of lays out all of our big events.
Is it too late for parents to sign their kids up for summer camps this year?
There are some camps that have vacancies. A lot of the more popular camps filled up really
quick. They fill up fast.
I bet. And the variety of summer camps is pretty extensive.
Oh, it was. We had theater camps. Everything. And outdoor adventure camps, sports camps.
Archery, sports camps,
cheerleading.
Art camps. Everything.
Literally everything.
Yes. Everything.
Something for everyone, but they do fill up fast.
So a lot happening within Murfreesboro Parks and Rec. And I know as we started this morning talking about some part-time jobs available, you can find out more details about those as well on the Parks and Rec website.
Yes.
What do you click on for the part-time summer jobs?
I think
jobs?
At the bottom, if you scroll to the bottom, there's a part that says employment opportunities. And just click on that and it lists all the jobs in Parks and Rec.
Sounds good. Again, with us this morning in studio from Murfreesboro Parks and Rec, we had Thomas Laird and Lynn Caldwell. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Download the MyMTE app in Google Play or in the iTunes Store and keep up with your electric usage.
The free app gives you better control of your power consumption and provides the ability to see exactly how much electricity you use.
Simply search for MyMTE today.